Let us pray. God, source of all light, by your word, you give light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding that our hearts and minds may be open. Amen. The Old Testament verse from today comes from Ezekiel. You can follow along on page 806 of the Pew Bibles. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are a whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
It is Pentecost, and we are celebrating the gift of the Spirit to the church. It is appropriate that our gospel reading from this day comes from the fourth gospel. In no other gospel does the role of the Spirit play such a central part in the teaching of Jesus as it does in this Gospel of John. The portrait of the Paraclete, as the author calls it, has been called one of the most substantive and distinctive theological contributions of this gospel. Two important understandings of the Paraclete, as identified in this gospel, are: one, the Paraclete as the continuing presence of Jesus in the community, and two, the role of the Paraclete as teacher and witness. Let us now turn to the 14th chapter of John and listen for God's word to us. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from my Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite paintings in the religious art world depicts a handful of Jesus's closest friends lowering his body into its final resting place on that afternoon of Good Friday. The artist has nearly painted questions and concern on their faces. It is so clear to see their struggle. Their questions, I think, include why? How will we ever go on? There's no way we absorbed all that we wanted to learn from him. I know I will forget. How will we ever know such love again? The pain in their faces was so raw, their loss so deep. I find myself hearing many of those same questions when I think about those followers of Jesus gathered in that room on the day of Pentecost. They had just witnessed or they had heard about Jesus's ascension. And they were bound to be asking themselves and one another, what now? Did he have to leave us again? How will we ever remember all that he tried to teach us? I'm sure I will forget. Jesus's close followers couldn't begin to imagine their lives without their beloved teacher and friend. They'd become so connected with him, and they had shared so deeply in his presence and in his ministry. There was just no way they could carry on without him. The absence of Jesus from his community and his followers, whether immediately following the crucifixion or after his ascension, this absence threatened to become the crisis that would destroy that fledgling early church. The community of believers needed more to hang on to. A woman named Kathy Eldon knows this human need for hanging on well. In 1993, she experienced the most profound loss that she and her daughter could ever begin to imagine, the murder of her son, Dan. He was a talented young photographer with Reuters, and he was stoned to death by an angry mob in Somalia on July the 12th, 1993. He was 23 when he was killed. Kathy's daughter, Amy, had just turned 18. 15 years later, mother and daughter, Kathy and Amy, published two books, both titled Angel Catcher. One was for older youth and adults, and one is for kids. The books are journals to help people remember their loved one who has died. In the introduction, Kathy describes some of their struggles to remember, to hold on to their loved one, Dan. She writes, "Eventually, I slowly began to accept Dan's death. But strangely enough, this was the hardest time of all. The idea of forgetting Dan, even for an hour at a time, felt like a betrayal of my son. Worse still, I found that my vivid memories of our life together were beginning to fade. His characteristic gestures and outrageous wit were not as clear as they had been. The stories I loved to tell were fading from my memory. I couldn't remember incidents we had shared, moments I had already thought were indelibly etched in my mind. Amy was going through her own time of despair. She and Dan had been unusually close, and she felt as though a part of her had been amputated when he died. 2 years after Dan's death, Kathy writes, she called me from college. "I can't remember everything about him," she sobbed. "I'm forgetting so much. I'm scared I won't remember anything one day." Kathy continues, desperately searching for something to soothe her, I happened to catch sight of a dream catcher hanging over my bed, created by Native American craftsmen to capture bad dreams. The little bent wood hoop decorated with feathers and beads triggered something in my mind. "I know," I said, "we'll make an angel catcher, a book to capture an angel, to fill with pictures, stories, letters, whatever you need to remind you of Dan. You'll have something to keep forever. One day you can show it to your children when they ask about their uncle." And so it began. With words, pictures, drawings, and quotations, Kathy felt Amy had captured the essence of Dan's spirit. Kathy wrote, "Every page brought back a world of memories, reminding me of who Dan was and who he still is in the minds of those who love him." Kathy and Amy have understood to a great extent the human struggles of Jesus' disciples as they grieved, as they questioned. Could they still feel his love when he was gone? Could they adequately tell others of his love? How would his legacy be carried on? These followers had a monumental struggle. Peter had already asked Jesus, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life." They knew that no one else was like Jesus. Jesus' death and departure had presented the disciples in the early church with a crisis far greater than simply the loss of a teacher and friend. Jesus' death and return to God marked in their minds the end of the incarnation, the end of God with them. If the revelation of God was housed in the incarnation, in Jesus' life, then what would happen when Jesus was gone? The followers asked themselves, was Jesus' revelation of God possible only for them, the first generation of believers? Was it limited to one particular moment in history? Or did it have any kind of future? The early followers wrestled and struggled with these questions. In our passage from John 14, we hear that Jesus recognized the disciples' sorrow and pain. He anticipated their grief. He told them not to worry, that he had the solution. "I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you," he told them. "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me." The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. He assured them that he indeed would remain alive in their community. What comfort and hope these words must have provided. But until that gift came into reality on Pentecost, the disciples wouldn't have known how to interpret those words. And even then, that day of Pentecost was rather crazy itself, and we know today that the role of the Spirit is never easy to understand. That day of Pentecost must have been incredibly confusing for them. The sound, like a violent rushing wind, what appeared to be flames of fire above their heads, people speaking in many languages and understanding one another. Thankfully, for all Jesus' followers and for the large crowd that had gathered, Peter rose to speak, to help them interpret what was taking place. Peter recognized that God had fulfilled Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. That very day, God had poured out the Spirit upon the people. And that is what they saw and heard. As those gathered, and as the early church looked back and remembered the promise that Jesus made to his followers before he died, that promise that he would not leave them orphaned, they began to understand that Jesus would indeed be present, but in a new way. He would continue to support his followers of all generations in a new way. The early church realized that Jesus sent his own Spirit to be present with them while he was physically absent. The Paraclete, as the Gospel of John calls this gift, ensured that the revelation of God in Jesus' incarnation did not end with Jesus' death and return to God, but God would continue to be with God's people through this extraordinary gift of the Spirit. They would never be without him or his love. They would have his Spirit with them to remind them of what Jesus had taught. They would continue to feel and respond to Jesus' challenge, to his new ways of viewing and living in the world. Jesus had not left them. He had found a new way to be with them and with all of God's children forever. This gift continues to abide with and bless us as well. It is through the gift of the Spirit that this community of Highland is able to reach beyond our walls and to share so fully with our community, including our overwhelming response to the needs of the women at the overflow shelter at St. Timothy's, and our enthusiasm for the school food pantry shared with our brothers and sisters at Temple Emmanuel. It is through the gift of this Spirit that this community of Highland welcomes one another so warmly and genuinely, especially those who are new in our midst. As I talk with visitors and recent new members, I hear over and over again how wonderful it is, especially during our time of passing the peace, to be greeted by those in the congregation, to be welcomed when instead folks could go and just talk with people they know. The Spirit is moving among us. It is through the gift of the Spirit that this community of Highland embraces and supports one another during times of need as well. I had the privilege of meeting this week with a daughter of a long-term member. Because the daughter lives out of town and isn't here too often, she wanted to meet to help begin the planning for the eventual memorial service for her mother. During our conversation, the daughter shared that she was considering, when she and her husband retired, moving to Winston-Salem. And she said, if we do, it would be because of this church. You all know how to be church for one another. Friends, God's Spirit continues to move among us, reminding us of what Jesus taught, challenging us to new ways of viewing and living in the world, pulling us in to fill us with God's love, and then sending us out to share that love with others near and far. Look around us. Look at this community of Highland. Look at this community of Winston-Salem. Look at the greater community in which we live and serve. Look for how God's Spirit, Jesus' very presence, continues to be alive and moving this very day. We have not been forgotten. And we cannot forget our loved one Jesus, for the Spirit forever connects us with Jesus the Christ, the one who is our way, our truth, and our light. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Amen.